Cut the low off this low mic. There isn't any on it.
Acts chapter number 27. The book of Acts chapter 27. I want to say one time, be sure and plan on going with us to sing Friday night. The choir will leave here at 6 o'clock Friday evening, going down to the River of Life Baptist Church in Gastonia, where Brother Dusty is pastoring. And it'll mean a lot to him, and it'll mean a lot to you. And so if everybody plan on going with us Friday night. Acts chapter number 27. This is a scripture. Talks about a ship. And this ship has a, they wreck, actually have a shipwreck. Hit the rocks. And I'm going to use this as a thought this morning, a little thought that I'd like to leave with you. So if everyone will give me your attention now, and everybody get down, sit down, stay down. Everybody. Give me just a tad on this, brother. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Verse 9. Chapter 27 and verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous. See that? It hadn't always been, I don't reckon, but it was then. Because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. That's a picture of the Christian life. When I first started out, somebody should have set me down and said, Son, y'all listen now. Somebody should have set me down and said, Boy, this voyage that you're getting ready to start on will be with much damage. And buddy, the old ship of Zion will be knocked around and hit rocks and fired at by other ships and battleships and cannons and guns and all these things. That's the Christian life. Derek made mention in Sunday school, a lot of times you get the impression from a lot of TV preachers, I'm not trying to be critical, you get the impression that once you're a Christian, you sail on this sort of high seas here and you never have a battle or a problem. And the truth is, it's just not that way. It's just absolutely not that way. And people go through battles and troubles, and then they hear them guys on TV and they think, well, my goodness, something don't match up with what I'm going through and what they're saying. And then they think, well, maybe I don't have enough faith. The truth is, you got as much faith as mustard seed. You got plenty of faith. You're just not looking at this thing right. You cannot go against the whole world and not get hit. We're going to have battles. We're going to have... He said sailing was dangerous. I don't know if you've ever been on a sailboat. I've been on a couple of pretty good-sized boats. I've been on a big ship. But them little ones are scarier. They're just like airplanes. The bigger they are, the safer you feel. Little bitty airplane, man, them things, Joe and Charlie fly. So it's like being up in the sky in a Volkswagen with two wings sticking out. Really, or less. It's littler than Volkswagen, ain't it? I'm telling you, buddy. It's like you're up there with nothing, sitting out in a lawn chair or something, flying. And the big ones don't feel that scary. But a big boat, you feel safe in it. But a little boat, I was on one time, and a big storm come up, and the waves started going up like this, and I mean, you'd have to hold on and look there, and there's the water, and then it'd go, and down there's the water. And, oh, Lord, if I ever get this thing, I promise you, I'll not get back on here. And that's the way life is. Sometimes life, you're just sailing smooth. And then other times, here goes everything upside down, and then you go in the gun again. So I'm going to preach this morning on this subject, danger points in the Christian life. Danger points in the Christian life. Now you listen to me. I know, I don't think you've maybe never heard a sermon like this. I just wrote down these things, and I believe the Lord gave them to me, and I'm going to give them to you. Danger points in the Christian life. You know, when you get saved, when I first got saved, everything is wonderful. Everything is brand new. You just open your eyes. You look and see all these good church people. You'd you think, boy, I can't wait till I'm as good as they are. I mean, you know, you don't know half people in there stabbing each other in the back and talking about each other and half backslid and everything else. Them were the good old days, wasn't they? When you thought everybody's just what they're supposed to be and, oh, there wasn't nobody. Everybody in the church was perfect and you had that delusion and you never fought with the devil and every time you prayed a prayer, God answered it. And then something happened. You hit a dangerous point. Many times you've been driving. I've drove many a mile. And a lot of people say, boy, you must be a good driver and drive all them miles not have wrecked. That's not true. I give the Lord the glory for keeping me safe on the highway. Buddy, I tell you, I've done some driving. I ain't kidding you. I have done some driving. I have drove all over this country, back and forth from that Marion to Shelby on 226, from down to Rutherford 221, Interstate 77, 85, 26, I-40, every one of them, have mercy, up 75, going from Knoxville up to Ohio, over and over and over. And you know what I can do sometimes? Sometimes I can sit there. You're not supposed to do this. But sometimes you can sit there and you just sort of get relaxed and you just kind of got the two fingers on the steering wheel. You're not supposed to do that. But I guess about everybody in here that drives, you're on a flat interstate and it's straight and you just sit there. And you just say, maybe hold one finger and you just sit with a little bit. There ain't nothing to it. It's easy. That's the way it is sometimes. For miles and miles, especially in Florida and out west. Lord, there's places out there in Montana and Texas. And in Montana, there's no speed limit out on the interstate. Thank God. That's the way it ought to be. If you're sober, they ought to leave you alone. Get all the drunks off the road. That's who's causing the wrecks. Right. And but anyway, there's long, flat stretches out there. Now, interstate ain't all like that. I've grown interstate from here to California. And did you know the worst place to drive between here and California is right on the other side of Asheville? From Asheville to Knoxville is the absolute scariest, worst stretch of interstate I've ever seen in my life. And I've drove from here to California. I mean, you got a big trucks on this side and a cement wall on this side, and you're in this little place, and they ain't nowhere to go. And I've had a lot of time before they'd start over on me like that, and here come big truck, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And I'd slam on my brakes and let them get on over and just hope and pray nobody wasn't behind me. Run into me. They'll squeeze you, man. They'll squash you. You know that sign says, if you can't see my mirror, I can't see you. I put you on a bigger mirror, dude. I want you to be able to see me. I can see you. Can't miss you. Big giant thing going down the highway. And sometimes it's like that. And then sometimes my mom fussed at me. She said, I mean, you know, you can't drive a car, change gears, talk on your cell phone, get your sunglasses out, and all at the same time, you start running out of hands after a few minutes. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. There's other times when you don't fool with the cell phone, you don't fool with your sunglasses, you grab a hold of that wheel, and you pay it. That's a danger point. Now, there's a stretch right over on the other side. Actually, it's in Black Mountain. As you're coming from Swannanoa toward Marion, coming this way, you know that place over there where that big old bridge is? There's a bridge like that, man. It's like you're in a race track or something. It leans. And when them things like that get ice on them, you know, I was coming down through there one night. It was late at night coming this way from Asheville coming home. I was flying down. I mean, I was a move. And I saw a couple of cars right on that bridge with their lights on. I thought, well, somebody had a wreck. I was just flying down there. I don't know how fast I was going. I was just flying down through there. I didn't know it, but the ice had got in there on that bridge. And, brother, it was just a solid sheet of ice. And I was just driving through there like normal, and I was wondering why all these cars just sitting on each side of the road. I thought, well, maybe, you know, somebody's stopped to help somebody, something like that. They had slid off the road. And buddy, I tell you, it was too late. I had done going 65, probably 65 miles an hour when I hit that ice. And I felt the car start doing like this. And buddy, when it gets like that, you can be the best driver. Richard Petty couldn't come out of there, son. I mean, Dale Earnhardt, well, he couldn't drive too good at all. Who's them other guys? What's that? Jeff Gordon? He couldn't have made it through there. You better not hit your brakes. If you'd hit your brakes in, I just went, and I thought, I wasn't but one thing to do. I grabbed both hands on that wheel, let off the gas, and said, oh, God, help me. And that's the only thing I could do. And my car went like this, and went like this,
I could feel it on all four wheels. And then I was going down. There ain't nothing you can do, brother. Four-wheel drive, all-wheel Subaru, four. You need with four wheels. You ain't going to use four wheels. It wouldn't do you a bit of good on solid ice. That was a danger point. And all of a sudden, I come out under the bridge and hit the good part and straightened up and just kept going. I said, thank God. 2 miles down the road, my body started burning. You know, I didn't even have time to get scared. About a mile down the road, I just got scared to death. I started shaking. I said, Lord, I'd like to get killed. Thank you, Lord. That was a dangerous point. Now, let me tell you something. Your Christian life's like that, people. You listen to me? Your Christian life's like that. When you get saved, you get in here and you get on the front row and you think, boy, I'm in here forever. Glory to God, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Treading the pilgrim pathway. On my way to heaven. Yes, sir, buddy. Woo! Got anything you want to know about the Bible? Anything you know? I'll be glad to help you out. Praise God, I'm in church forever. And that's easy when you're on a straight, flat, dry, sunshiny road. And then something happens. And ladies and gentlemen, there are literally thousands of people sitting at home in Burke County this morning who used to be in church just like you're in, and they hit a spot and wrecked. And they wrecked their life. There are times in your Christian life when you better keep your eyes ahead. Don't give it no gas. Don't give it no brakes. Just hold on tight and trust the Lord. You listen? Are you listening? You don't want to be one of these casualties. You don't want to be one of these people say, well, I used to go and this happened. Or I used to go and that happened. You know, you can wreck a car a lot of times and not total it. Boy, you total one, it's off the highway. And a lot of people have made what the Bible calls shipwreck of their life. You can shipwreck your life. I'm going to give you a few dangerous. Now, when I say these things, some of you are going to say, what is he talking about? But I've been pastoring 28 years next Sunday. It'll be my 28th anniversary as a pastor. And brother, I have been doing it long enough now, I see what gets people out. And I'm going to tell you, there are a few of these things this morning. Number one, the first dangerous point you come to in your life is when you desire to be filled with the Spirit. When you first get a desire to be filled with the Spirit. Why is that dangerous? Because you have a lot of heart and not much in your head, and you can be deceived easily. I could not tell you. I could write you a list on that sheet right there this morning of people that got saved and they got on fire for the Lord and they started bringing their Bible and they just loved church and loved preaching and loved the preacher and loved the choir and loved everything. And they thought, man, I really want everything God's got for me. And then somebody at work started talking to them. No, you're in the wrong church. You need to come to my church. And they say, where was you all 11 years when I was out there living like a devil? They don't ever show up till you get saved and get in a good church. Then here they come, the vultures, we call them. And they're sent there to mess you up. And they'll get you off on some sidetrack or in some doctrine. See, the devil knows you ain't going to just go back out there and get drunk or something. So the devil says, well, all he wants is Bible. Let's give him some Bible. And the devil will twist them scriptures and twist us and say, you really need this. Your church, they'll tell you this. They'll say, your church don't believe the, quote, full gospel. They only believe in part of it. Come to our church, we believe the full gospel. Or one lady said, you're not Danny? She said, yeah, I remember years ago, he used to have the Holy Ghost. I hate to tell you this, sister, but the Holy Ghost said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you've ever had the Holy Ghost, you've still got the Holy Ghost. And the question ain't if you got the Holy Ghost. The question is, does the Holy Ghost have you? Amen? So you better be careful. The devil will slip you a counterfeit, just shows your name what it is. Right when you first get saved and get on fire for God. You know, because all you think about is the Bible. All you think about is God. You listen to every preacher. You listen to if you ain't careful, you'll be watching Garner Ted and Herbert W. And you'll be all that. And you'll be all that. Now after you've been saved and you learn what's what, you can kind of sift through some of that junk. But you listen, if you're not careful, you'll say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I heard old so-and-so, and he sounded right. You know, I saw people go to the altar. I saw, you better be careful or the devil will slip you a counterfeit right there. There's a lot of false spirits. I know a couple got saved one time. They got on fire for God. They started coming to church. They done real good for a while, and I got to missing them. I said, "Where's so and so?" They said, "So and his family told them that they need to be in this other church." And I'm not saying ours is the only church now. There's a lot of good churches, but this was a messed up church, and it was one of these churches where these people thought that they were a whole lot better than everybody else. And if you go to our church, you're right. And if you don't, you ain't right. And that type of, and that couple, they got all messed up. They got to believing all kind of crazy junk. They got, and to this day, as far as I know, they ain't never done nothing for God. Never win a soul, never work on a bus route, never teach Sunday school, never sing in the choir. But boy, they're sitting there holy, so holy, it's ridiculous. You better be careful, right when you, it's not just a desire to get a spirit, get the right spirit. And the right, so you better be careful right after you get saved to get rooted and grounded in this book right here and get in the right church and stay there where God can bless you and God can help you grow. Some people say, "Well, I just go to this little church here because it's close." You better be careful because that, you don't go to that little restaurant because it's close where the waitress has got her thumb in your food, you know, and wiping the flies off of her. Blowing her hair like that when she comes out. I know you want to go where you can get something clean and decent. And your kids are going to have to grow up following your footsteps. So you better get them in the right church and keep them in there. Say amen. Number two. You know another dangerous point? Like when I hit that ice over in Black Mountain that night? Listen. Is when you have your first baby. When you have your first baby. You say, "Preacher, when I have kids, we're going to really serve God." If you're not careful, them little sweethearts can make you backslide. I know this is odd because, you know, we just found out that Carrie and Todd are going to have one here in a few months. She's going to. I started that when you have first baby. I ain't going to have no baby. I remember when she was first born. And I was worse then than I am now. It's still hard for me to think babies are cute. Little brand newborn baby. It's hard for me. I think you're just making it up when you tell, "Oh, he's beautiful." Not when they're first born, they ain't. That's just my opinion. I think they get cute in about 6 months, but I'm telling you, when they're first born, I say, "Isn't he beautiful, Brother Daniel?" God, what's wrong? Their head's whop-sided. Got their mouth in like that, you know. They're red. We called her Chigger till she was about 6 months old. That's true. Didn't my daddy call her Chigger? We all got Lord, they look like you. They just look just like one of them little aliens to me. That's what they look like, an alien. And they get cuter as time goes by, and then you grow up and start getting ugly again. So there's a little time period there when they're cute. But you know what I've seen people do? I've seen young couples come to church real good, serve God, sing in the choir, do all, and then here comes baby. And boy, when that baby is born, everything changes. I'm telling you, your life is fixing. I told her when she called me on the phone, she said, "Daddy, I got your Father's Day present." I said, "Good, bring it over here." And she said, "You can't have it for 9 months." I said, "Well, your life's over, huh? You don't buy anything, you better go buy it now, because you ain't going to have no money after that thing gets here." Ain't that right? Or sleep either. Or relax. You know how it is when you come home and you ain't slept in about two or three weeks already, maybe a month, and you're out of church that last month because you're big as that pulpit. I mean, they have to walk like this right here. They'll fall down. I've seen them have to walk like that because they stand up, that weight will just, they'll fall right on their belly. And brother, know what? That thing will mess you up and you'll be out of church 2 or 3 weeks. And finally, the Sunday comes to bring that little darling to church. And the devil gets in the doctor. Don't you tell me that if a devil can get in a church member and a devil can get in a preacher, he can get in a doctor. And the doctor will say, "Now you don't want it around any crowds." That's the devil talking to you when he says that. Amen. She'd been in church since she was 5 days old. The other two, as soon as they got home from the hospital, we took them to church. Always took them to church. But you know what? The doctors say, now you don't want to get in the crowd. And you first one, you're overprotective. You're super protective. Oh, I don't want it to get sick. I don't want to get... But you just... after you get two or three, drag them on. They'll be all right. You can't kill them. But you know that first baby? That first baby, you know how it is, don't you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That first one, you just, we got to watch out. It'll get sick. At least you wipe its nose. You take care. You do all kind of stuff. Nasty stuff. And you know what? You take that thing to church. Well, it's time to go to church. 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 And you know, you get, and while you're gone to the hospital, your husband rearranges furniture, trying to be nice. He's got everything in the dining room, living room, different places. You move the coffee table and you put it in a bayonet and it goes to bayonet. We call them things bassinet. Don't put it in the bayonet. You're like them sisters over there in the Bible chopped it and... I know Castle was down there preaching and morganing about killing babies with bayonets. I know some... Now shut up. But listen, put it in the bassinet. Put it in the bassinet. Right down there, and you buy one of them little things, you know, and it's like a little... It looks like a little something at the rides. It goes around. You wind it up, and it goes around. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. And it plays like a little music box. And it just lays there looking up at it. Goes to sleep, and you go in here and you say, thank God. This will be the first time in months that I get to sleep on my belly or roll over. I can actually put a sheet on, you know, it's 100,000 degrees right before you have a baby. No matter how cold it is, it's 100,000 degrees for the woman. He's laying over there with all the cover and the hat piled up on top of her. She says, I'm burning up! I'm sweating! And you say, thank God, a good night's rest. Well, about that time, that little thing goes, what? Boy, I'm telling you, right about the time you get to sleep, oh, if you've never had that experience. I used to put Corey in her bed when she was about a year old and put her in there. And we had these little monitor things, you know, where I could hear in the bedroom. And he turned it on where she cried, you hear it. And right in the middle of the night, wah! And I just put the pillow over my head like that so I couldn't hear. I thought, maybe she'll shut up. God, please let her shut up. Lord, please put her back to sleep. And you finally just get up, and then you come through the house. You forgot he's rearranged the furniture. You trip over the coffee table. Bloody, you know, you about cuss right there. You'll about cuss. If you ain't careful, you'll cuss right there. And boy, you'll come through the house and staggering and all that. And you know, you grab it and do it like this, you know, and hold it. You think it's going to die. It ain't going to die. It ain't going to hurt a baby to cry. It ain't going to hurt a baby to cry. It's good exercise for their lungs. Amen. It'll hurt them if they cry during church. That's what I'm preaching. But no other time. You let them cry. And you know something? You finally get up. You ain't had no sleep. But you get up that first Sunday morning and you take it to church and so proud of it. And the preacher lets you stand up and everybody brags on how beautiful, you know, and everything. And you're just up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And you ain't going to dare leave that little jewel in the nursery. No, sir, not back there in that nasty place with them nasty women that don't know how to take care of it. And you know, so-and-so put a little brat back there. I wouldn't let my kid around that thing. I'll keep him around. And you're real protective and therefore you don't hear nothing the first 4 or 5 months. And you done gone 4 or 5 months without no preaching and the next thing you know, and I know people this morning that are probably not because they think, well, I don't get nothing out of it. All I have to do is up and down in the nursery and feed the baby and all that. If you're not careful, you're like on that ice. You better hold that thing in the road. You better put that thing in perspective. Lay that thing in the baby crib. And brother, put that thing in there and let it lay there. And brother, let it squall a little bit. It ain't going to hurt you. Get in here and get your soul fed and stay right with God. Let me tell you something. You hearing me this morning? I'm talking to you people standing around out there and talk during Sunday school. I'm talking to you ladies that hang around, stay and talk in the nursery. I'm talking to everybody in here. They ain't a one of us can survive on getting a little bit of preaching about once every 2 months. You need to be preached to. I mean, listen, get your husband to help you. If you ain't got a husband, get somebody on these girls to help you. Say, listen, will you hold my baby? I need to get in here and hear some preaching that'll help keep me straight. Just what you've heard this morning has already helped everybody in here. Whether you realize it or not, when you go out here, you feel preaching keeps your head straight. Preaching, and you can do without it, and I can't do without it. You say, where do you get it, preacher? I get it on tapes. I listen to tapes this week. I don't know how many tapes I listen to this week. Just trying to keep my own self straight where I need to be with God. Listen, you cannot live like you're. You say, well, it's for a good cause. It's my baby. I don't care what it's for. Yeah, I don't care if it's a job. I don't care what it is. Anything keeping you out of church and away from that preaching, you're at a dangerous point in your life, and you better take it easy. Know that. I'm going to say this. Hurry. Number three. When everything's going good. When everything's going good. When the money's coming in. You better listen. When you're prospering and making plenty of money, you get to the point where you go a day, then another day, you ain't read your Bible. Another day, ain't prayed. Ain't nothing. And first thing you know, you wreck. And you know why you wrecked? Because you got everything going so good, you thought you didn't need the Lord. You just sitting there at that steering wheel, flying and everything. You can be out there on a beautiful sunny day with your sunglasses on, straight interstate and everything, and wreck and kill yourself. If you let go of that wheel and don't pay attention. When everything's going good, you better look out. That's why you're better off. Now let me say this. The Bible teaches this. Everybody wants to be rich and prosper. If God lets you be rich, praise God, I'm happy for you. But you're better off in here in the middle somewhere. People's got a whole lot of money, hardly ever live right. And people ain't got no money, hardly ever live right. You're better off, David said, if I'm full, I'll deny you. If I'm empty and broke, I'll cuss and steal. He said, feed me what's sufficient for me. So if you're what we call common class, mid-class people, that's your best chance of living right. Go down here, people, they ain't got nothing. It's hard to get them to live right. They really, try it. If you're the rich people down, hard to get them to live right too. They're harder than the poor people. You're better off just having food and clothes and having your bill paid and living week to week and living on a decent salary. And not to where you're broke, but not to where you got too much either. Dangerous. Number four, when everything's going bad. See, like this morning, I'll give you my picture of my life this morning. Some things are going good. Some things are going bad. That's a good shape to be in. If everything was going good for me, I'd be in trouble. If everything going bad for me, I'd be in trouble. When everything's going bad, look out. Job in the Bible lost his kids, lost everything. When everything, you say, Lord, what else can happen, preacher? That's when you're fixing. I've seen so many people. I've seen so many guys come to the altar and they'll say, preacher, I'm bawling their eyes out and shake my hand. I say, what's the matter? They'll say, my wife left me. What am I going to do? She took the kids and I'm it's killing me. I said, you better hang on the steering wheel, son. You better keep this thing in the road. Better be careful. And then he comes in the next week and he said, preacher, I got laid off. What am I going to do? Now she's wanting child support and she's off with another man. Preacher, what am I going to do? Listen, it can get so bad that you'll get to the point where you'll say, heck with it. I don't care what happens. I'm going to go back and live out in the world. You are fixing to wreck your life when everything's going bad this morning, when you're having disappointments, when you're in bad shape. Hang on. Look straight ahead. Hang on the wheel and say, God, get me through this. Don't put on the brakes. Don't put on the gas. Just coast on through and say, God, get me through this. I don't want to wreck. And everything's going bad. Job buried 10 kids. Job lost his sheep, houses, land, everything he got just in a day or two. And there was Job had 10 caskets lined up in the funeral home. 10 of them. There's his oldest boy, youngest boy, oldest girl, youngest girl, all 10 of them. And Job didn't have nothing left but his wife. What a blessing it would have been to him if she had died. Really, read your Bible. I'm telling you, one of the worst curses a man can have is an old grouchy, cantankerous old wife, or other words I can't say. Amen. Say it right there. And she come up to Job and she said, won't you just curse God and die? Well, that's a real help meet, ain't it? A help meet for the Lord. Just curse Him and die.
And the devil got behind the bush and said, I've got him now. I took his houses. I took his land. He's going to cuss God and die. And Job said, I remember what Brother Danny said. He said, No. Just chill, man. Just chill. Hold on tight. Take it easy. And say, God, help me through this. Next thing I say, this could cover everything else. Anytime you go through a major change, divorce, getting a new job, going to college, getting married. Oh, yeah. You say, boys, if I could just have heaven, I could live right. I know a bunch that didn't. I know a bunch that did real good till they got married. Amen. That's good if you get the right one. It's bad if you don't. I know a bunch of people never missed visitation, went soul winning, done things for God, and all kind of stuff, and got married and wasn't worth a dime. Young couples. I thought, man, I don't know if God was in that or not. Changing job. In other words, we are creatures of habit. Human beings are creatures of habit. We want everything to sort of stay the same. And anything that disrupts your normal life, that throws it out of whack, is a danger point in your life. If you ain't careful, right there is where you mess up. Anytime you go through a ship, quote, a new job, girlfriend, boyfriend, marriage, anything that turns up things upside down in your life, is a time when you better say, all right, Lord, no matter all I'm going through all this other stuff, but I know what you've done for me back there. And by your grace, I'm going to hang on and stay straight and live for you. You listening? Some of y'all fixing the wreck. If you don't just hold on to the wheel, look straight ahead. Let off the gas. Don't touch the brakes. What does that mean? You know what you do if I'd hit my brakes? I'd have went whoosh, and probably hit the side of the cement wall. In other words, well, I'm just not going back to church. I'm just discouraged. Don't hit your brakes, man. You crazy? Wheel wreck. Just keep going straight. Coast right on through this. And you'll hit the solid road out here in a week or two. And you'll be all right. Paul said sailing was now dangerous. Some of you this morning's in a dangerous point in your life. You can look down the road and your kids and your future and your husband and your wife and everything you got is going to be determined by what you do here in the next few days or weeks. When you get real mad, when you get upset, when you get your feelings hurt, you can do some dumb things when you get your feelings hurt. Or when you get upset or when you sin and you thought you can do some dumb things, you better hold it in the road, son. If you'll make shipwreck. Now I can tell by the atmosphere in here this morning that some of y'all are doing some heavy thinking. I can see it. Sometimes I just get up here and rant and rave and scream and holler. But this morning, this has made you think. And I want to take stock of your life right now. Some of you are just on that ice. You're just going like this. It's out of control. You don't even have no control over it. The only control you got is saying, God, help me this. That's what you need to do this morning. Danger point.